Thank you. Thank you. So this is where we get a little bit more bizarre, but not really bizarre, only the area beyond what people normally talk about in terms of this conspiracy. There's people all over the world now who are researching this and communicating it and, you know, great stuff. But if you are limited by a belief system, particularly a religious belief system, and many researchers of this conspiracy come from that background, then you'll go so far, which is about as far as we've come today so far, but you won't go into this next bit. And for me, this next bit is where we need to go to find the way out of this. Because unless we know how we're creating it, then how do we know how to uncreate it? Because the answers are not in the out there, because there is no out there. So I'm going to now go into the realms of how we create reality, and therefore how it can be manipulated, and understanding that. And that's why I call this now the really important bit, because this is where all the strands from earlier in the day start to come together, and we can start to see a way out of this, and also understand much more profoundly why society is structured as it is. It all starts to make sense once we realize the nature of reality, and the fact that beyond the bushes and the blares and the shadowy core, this knowledge, which has been passed on through the thousands of years, is the knowledge that they use to manipulate our sense of reality while we understand very little about what's actually going on. Our thoughts are not necessarily our thoughts, but implanted thoughts. So seeing is believing. But actually the truth is, believing is seeing. And that's a massive truth that moves us forward. What is reality? Reality is an illusion. The only place this world exists is in our heads, and even our head, if you go on to another level, is an illusion. We are consciousness, we are infinite consciousness. This quote from Goebbels about vitally important to repress dissent, because the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. Now we're entering the area of the biggest lie and the most important lie in terms of the few controlling the many indefinitely. And when we realize the nature of the lie, we can then take control of our lives back, collectively and individually. We are not this body. I'll get more into that as we go along. We are consciousness. We are consciousness that is connected to an ocean of consciousness we call infinity. We can perceive life as a droplet in an ocean. Oh, I'm just little me. Oh, what power have I got? You know, I was born in Leicester. I was, and I went to school, and now I've got a job, and I'm a droplet. But you can perceive that, and you will create a reality that reflects the way you see reality. That the perceived reality becomes the experienced reality. But if you perceive yourself not as a droplet, but what happens when you put a droplet in the ocean, there is no point where the droplet ends and the ocean starts. The droplet is the ocean, the ocean is the droplet. We're all one infinite consciousness. Now, when we perceive life from that point of view, the last thing we think of is we are powerless. Is that we have to look outside of ourselves to be told what to think. And so the whole conspiracy at its really profound foundation level is to hold us in a bubble in which we are operating on a fraction of who we are, and they use the physical body, again, and I'll come into this in more detail, to be the block on us being multidimensional infinite consciousness that cannot be manipulated. We are energy, awareness. People call it consciousness. My favorite word is awareness. We're awareness. And, you know, these can be photographed. We call them auras, but that's just one level of our infinite energy field. And we are not the body. The consciousness works through the body, which is nothing more than a biological computer, fantastic as it is. And when we leave the physical body, even every form of life, that's a fingertip, this is a plant, energy, life force. Everything has the life force. And when that's withdrawn, or withdraws, then the physical side of it, which is a biological computer, disappears. What the Illuminati want to do and have structured society to do is to make us identify who we are with the computer. I'm David Ark. I was born in Leicester in 1952. No, that's the experience I'm having. I am infinite consciousness. There are very different perceptions of reality. This thinks it's small and insignificant. This knows that it's everything, like we all are. But if you can be held in the perception of the physical body, the computer level, then you can be controlled very easily. Now, I had an experience over the last week. My mother died. She was in her 80s. And I went up for the funeral. And I was asked if I wanted to go and see my mother in the coffin. Now, I would have said, no, I want to remember her as she is. But something said to me, go, go, go. So I went. And there was my mother in this coffin. And next to her was a massive blown-up picture of her with a big smile on her face, sparkle in the eyes. And I looked at my mother in the coffin, and I looked at the picture. That had no life. That was full of life. That was my mother. That was the computer with my mother gone. And the difference between the two was so profoundly obvious. Because when we take a photograph of someone, the photograph also picks up these unseen levels of consciousness, the sparkle in the eye, the warmth, the vibration coming off you. It picks that up. And that life that was in that picture, that was in my mother for 80-odd years, was that part of her that withdrew. And I'm glad she did, it did, because that computer was causing her endless pain and misery. That withdrew and is now back in the land of forever, the land of consciousness beyond human sight, for reasons I'll come to. And this is how we have been misled on purpose, so that we perceive who we are and who others are with a physical form, when that's not what they are at all. Do we perceive people on the moon in spacesuits as being spacesuits? No, we perceive them as what is in the spacesuit. That is the difference between the two. And my mother is still alive, because she cannot be anything but alive, because she is infinite consciousness that cannot be destroyed. Now, this is a symbolic picture. There are now endless accounts all over the world of people who've had what we call out-of-body experiences, where they leave the body when the body physically dies, and they're looking down on their body, and when they're revived, they can tell the doctors and the nurses what they were doing and saying when they were apparently dead. They also talk about going through a tunnel and seeing people who've gone before. Now, what is another common theme of near-death experiences is people say when they've left the body and they are looking and perceiving this world from another perspective, they have massively expanded consciousness, so much so that they can perceive their entire physical lifetime in almost one thought. We're perceiving it in a series of thoughts going through what we call time. They're just perceiving it all in one thought, something that they couldn't even conceive doing when they were in the physical body. And what this physical body does is it limits the vision and perspective of consciousness. And we start to identify who we are with this physical world and with this physical body. Now, if you control the information that this level of us is implanted with from cradle to grave, then if consciousness starts to identify with the physical body as who it is and disconnects its perception of being interdimensional and infinite, then it's going to get its information to get a fix on who it is and what's happening in the world through this information. It's not going to get it from out here through intuition, through knowing. It's going to get it from here. So if they can control that, they are literally programming a computer to see the world in the way that they want us to see it. And that's what they've done. The idea is to keep us in the five sense reality, because they control that. And that's holding us in the level of the computer. This is a symbol of this tunnel that near-death experiences constantly talk about, where they're moving from this reality into another reality beyond human sight. Because we think, and I say we, I mean most people, we think that when we look through our eyes, we are seeing what exists in the space we are looking at. In fact, we are seeing through physical sight a infinitesimal fraction of what exists in this space. We're seeing a tiny frequency range accessible by five sense sight. Now, according to mainstream scientific projections of what exists as mass and matter in this one universe, the electromagnetic spectrum is 0.005% of what is projected to exist in this universe. 0.005%, the electromagnetic spectrum. Human sight can perceive a fraction of that 0.005%. One of the other fantastically effective ways that we're controlled and manipulated is to get us to perceive that we are seeing what exists when we look through our eyes, when we're seeing an infinitesimal fraction. In the space that I'm occupying now are all the radio and television stations broadcasting to London. I can't see them, they can't see each other, because they're on different frequencies, different wavelengths. And therefore, they don't interfere with us and they don't interfere with each other unless they're really close on the frequency dial. So in the space that I am occupying now, we all are, is infinity. An infinity of worlds and dimensions of existence and what we call life, all existing here. And when I talk about other dimensional entities, for instance, I can't go into this in detail today because we're running out of time, but this, because I want to concentrate on this, which is, I think, is most important. But when I talk about other dimensional entities manipulating this world through these Illuminati bloodlines who have a DNA that resonates, a sympathetic resonance with these entities, therefore they can control these particular bloodlines much more effectively. That's why you put the bloodline into power, you're putting the other dimensional entity into power that is controlling that apparently human person's mental, emotional, and physical traits and stuff. What is happening is that these entities are operating on frequencies beyond human sight, which ain't saying much given the amount we can access. And so when people say, oh, I saw this reptilian entity, and this reptilian man, it just appeared before my eyes and then disappeared. People go, what are you on? What are you on? What's happened is it hasn't appeared and disappeared. It's changed its frequency so that it's entered the frequency of five sense sight. Oh, did you see that? It's changed the frequency. It's gone out of the frequency of five sense sight. It disappeared, mate. When people say, I saw this UFO and it disappeared in front of my eyes. Well, no, it hasn't disappeared. It's left the frequency range that your eyes can access. This is why some people will have a psychic ability to go further into the sight frequency range, and they'll see a ghost, or what they call a ghost, and someone else will say, I can't see a thing, mate. It's all about what you're tuning into and what you're not. Radio signals, radio stations symbolically. So, we are living in five sense reality in a tiny, tiny frequency range. Infinity lies beyond it. What the Illuminati want us to do is keep that as our focus of what is and real and all the rest of it, and forget about all that stuff, because once you go there, this looks very bloody different. And you start to see through the manipulation and the lies and the claptrap. And people say, I saw it with my own eyes. Well, no, you didn't actually. You saw it with your brain. All the five senses do is they pass signals, electrical, electrochemical signals, to the brain, which then interprets them to form a apparently three-dimensional holographic reality in the brain. We don't feel pain where we get the smack, we feel the pain when the brain has interpreted the message from the smack into pain. And it's the same with all the senses. We are constructing our reality in terms of what we appears to be out here is actually in here. And as psychological research and other research has shown, we construct that reality from all this information that we receive on the basis of what we believe. On a simple example of that, I've seen television programs where they put two people together who have a really, really preconceived idea about each other. Because this world's controlled by preconceived ideas, beliefs, imposed beliefs, most of them. And what they do is they get them to talk to each other. They film it, then they take the people apart, and they ask them what the other person said and how they said it. And they tell them. They then play the original chat back, and these two people are shocked. Because when they look at it again, what the person said, and especially how they said it, was completely different to how they perceived it. Why? Because research has shown, psychological research and all this stuff that they do in these laboratories with, you know, testing mental and emotional reactions, that we edit up to and sometimes 50% of the information we receive to make it fit our perceived reality. We put things in that aren't there, we take things out that are there to make it fit the reality. So when someone you've got a preconceived idea about, I don't like you, when they say something, you hear it in a way that underpins the belief that you don't like them and they're not very nice. Now this is happening all the time. And so he who can implant preconceived belief in situations and what have you will then create the editing process within us that leads to us creating or perceiving the reality that the implanted belief is creating. We think we're creating our own reality, and we are through the process, but what we're doing overwhelmingly is accepting externally implanted beliefs which then create our reality. Someone else is creating our reality for us. So we see with our brain even, not our eyes. The eyes are only part of the process. Everything is happening in our heads. And if you know that, and the mass of the population don't, then that is how a few can control the many. Because by implanting belief, you know that you will create reality, and you implant a belief of powerlessness and all the other stuff, knowing that you will create an experience of the masses of powerlessness. It's a mind game. The whole thing's a mind game. Like I say, you know, tricking the brain is a piece of cake in terms of getting it to see things that aren't real. I mean, this, like I said right at the start, these are actually flat pictures on pavements that appear incredibly three-dimensional. Because the brain's being tricked to believe that that's what it is because of the way they're created. This man's a bloody genius at it. Looking at these pictures, all on a flat, bloody surface. It's incredible. Now, some people's brains will perceive this as seven sections. Some people will perceive it as a box. And again, we'll just interpret reality in relation to how we perceive it. And it won't be the same, even though it's the same thing. These red-purple colors in the two lines are exactly the same color. Exactly the same color. They look different because of the way they're presented in terms of other colors, and so the brain perceives them as different shades, even though they're exactly the same shade. I wonder how many people, I did the first time, read this as a bird in the bush, when it says a bird in the bush. Because the brain says, a bird in the bush, yes, I recognize that. So it cuts out the other the, because it's going with what it knows. And if you can implant a bird in the bush, that's how it is. If you perceive a bird in the bush, no, it's a bird in the bush. That's what I perceive, that bird that's not there. Don't see it. And on a major scale, this is how the manipulation is done, as I'll get into. This is the foundation of how it's done. How many people see the top word as optical, and how many people see it as illusion? How many people see the bottom word as good, and how many people see it as evil? Because both words are there in both examples. It's just a case of how you perceive it with your brain, how you interpret reality. These are real simple examples, but it's happening on a mega scale. As Einstein said, reality is an illusion, albeit a persistent one. And the reason it's a persistent illusion, we'll come to as we go along in this last section. As this guy, H.M. Tomlinson said, we see things not as they are, but as we are. And if we can be manipulated to see things in a certain way, we can be manipulated to see the world as the Illuminati want us to see it. This is the foundation, like I say, of where it all comes from. All the other stuff today, we need to know that. We need to be informed about that. But this is the bottom line where it all comes from. And if we understand this, we become a nightmare to manipulate. I've been kind of thinking about this and researching about this for years. And then in 2003... I'd finished the book, Alice in Wonderland, the World Trade Center Disaster, and I said, look, if I'm going to go further into this and see the next levels, I've got to go into other levels of reality, not in some dream, did I dream it, what happened, but I've got to go in conscious awareness and see beyond this realm and into these other dimensions that interpenetrate it like radio stations. And as synchronicity would have it, I got an invite at that time to go down to South America and talk to a group in the Brazilian rainforest and partake of something called ayahuasca. It was very nice. And I took this stuff. I could have taken it four times. I took it twice. That was enough for me. And over two nights, I went into another state of consciousness. And especially on the second night, for 5 hours... this voice took a female form, but, you know, it's just that form. We are infinite consciousness, male, female, the whole thing. It talked to me as loud as I'm talking now for 5 hours about the nature of reality and the fact that it's all an illusion. And it was so funny. I mean, this level of consciousness, if it was a comedian, it'd clean up. It was so funny. It was taking the piss out of this world and how we perceive it in the most brilliant way. Anyway... What it said was, when it opened up, it said over and over again, it said, all you need to know is this. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. And put another way, everything being one infinite awareness is the only truth. Everything else is the imagination of that awareness made manifest. And we can get caught in identifying with our manifest reality and delinking from an identification with that infinite consciousness that is manifesting this reality. We get caught in our creation and forget we are the creator. That's what we've done here. We've got locked and identified with what we are creating and what we're experiencing instead of what we are. So, the illusion and the nature of the illusion is one, if not the most important secret truth that has been passed on the top level of the secret society network. Taken from that ancient society, global society that understood the nature of reality, and it has been passed on ever since through that structure while sucking it out of circulation by ridiculing it, by condemning it, by saying it's the devil and using mainstream religion to destroy it in the public domain because the devil is involved in this stuff. And this is how it has worked. And we've lost an identification with who we are. Oneness. Infinite consciousness expressing itself through this at this time and through everything else. We are not individuals in that sense. There is not a vacuum between us. There is an energy field. We are all one. The Illuminati want us to identify with division. Because in perceiving division, we perceive this to be who we are. And that's why the whole pressure, you look at society, you look at the whole gamut of it, all the advertising, all the communication, everything, it is making us and it is enticing us with five-sense reality. It's all about what we can see, entertainment, what you can taste, oh, isn't it lovely, what you can touch, oh, she's nice, and all this stuff. It's all about the five senses and holding us in the five senses. It's not there's anything wrong with that. It's a lovely experience. I've tried it. You know, it's good. But if that is our entire perception, instead of that is me having an experience, but I am infinite consciousness, we start identifying with the five senses as who we are, then we are the fly in the spider's web. And that's why we've got caught. And that's why they've wanted to take out this knowledge in every way possible. But it's coming back, and it's coming back fast. This is how we perceive ourselves, and we're encouraged to. Little me, big universe. I am the universe, big Ed. You know, you're so conceited. You think you're everything, don't you? Actually, I do. Yes, that's absolutely right. Hey, but so are you. You conceited sod. Yes. Think small, create small. We are oneness. They want to keep us in division. Now, the way they do it is get us to identify with the computer, and that's what it is. This is a biological computer. And after that experience with the ayahuasca and stuff, I came back and I started researching all this stuff from a scientific point of view to see if there was any correlation. When you get away from mainstream science that's taught in the schools and all the stuff, and you get into the cutting edge of science, you find that scientists have already understood that reality is an illusion. And they've already started to understand at the cutting edge that this is a biological computer. Now, when I wrote my last book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion, when it was finished, the writing stage, and it went off to be designed as a book, I came across this article by Russian scientists who had got together with geneticists and linguists and many other different disciplines to try to understand, wait for this if you haven't come across it, what the 95% of DNA that scientists call junk DNA, because they don't know what it does, this project was to try to find out what it did. What's it there for? I mean, was God taking the piss or what? I mean, I'll throw 95% of DNA here for no reason. That'll confuse the buggers, yeah. And science being science, because it doesn't understand it, then it calls it junk DNA, as if it's got no purpose. It's just junk DNA, there's no reason, right? Well, what this scientific project with the Russian scientists discovered and concluded was that the body, in its words, is a biological computer. I nearly fell off my chair. I thought I just wrote that a week ago. Anyway, this is a photograph on the right of an experiment done in a Paris hospital where the acupuncture points were around the body. They were injected with a dye that could be photographed. And this photograph is of where the dye went down the acupuncture meridians lines. Now, when I looked at that, the first thing that came to me was, that's a bloody circuit board. And what they found is that when these lines of energy, what they call meridian lines and chi or chi energy, when it's moving through the body slowly or too slow for its natural balance, people get ill. When it is moving around the body at its optimum speed, people are healthy. Why? Because what the energy is information passing around the computer. And this is the first time in known human history when we can really start to perceive the situation, because we have computers, we have television. And years ago, when they thought computers and television, you know, never even thought they were possible or even perceive what they were, try explaining this. But now we have the symbols to understand and to explain it. When the computer is not working very well, in other words, it's unhealthy, what do we say about it? We say, my bloody computer's slow today. Exactly. And that's what happens to us. The information is passing around too slowly. Therefore, the body is not in its optimum state. So the body's a computer, and we are occupying the computer, but we are not the flipping computer. That's the point. And we use computer language. When you get a computer virus, I've had one, and it starts off that everything kind of slows down because it starts to imbalance the flow of information. And it gets worse and it gets worse, and exactly what happened to mine about a year ago, it eventually won't even switch on. And what do we say? Hey, my computer's died. Exactly. And this is what happens when we have what we call death. We don't die, sodding computer does. And then when the computer goes off and switches off, so it just operates on tick-over mode, we say the computer's in a sleep state. Yes, same with us. When our consciousness goes off to other realms and we have things called dreams and stuff. And we have something called Norton antivirus. And its job is to destroy viruses and isolate them when they enter the computer to keep the computer healthy. We have a Norton antivirus in our computers. We call it the immune system that does pretty much exactly the bloody same. Now, Norton antivirus will keep your computer healthy until a virus comes that it can't cope with, or it's overwhelmed, or it's not working properly. Our immune system will keep us healthy until something comes along it can't cope with, very rare, or more often it has been undermined by all the shit we drink and eat and all the pressure and electromagnetic pollution, and also because it's overwhelmed by the number of things that are being fired at it. And then we become ill, and eventually the virus gets so bad we die, or the computer does. This is a guy called William Sheridan. He is one of these people who have had organ transplants and mysteriously, though it's not, taken on the personality or some personality traits and some aptitude traits of the donor. He was in a hospital in New York waiting for a heart transplant. And to kill the time while he's waiting to go into the operating theater in the days before, however long it was, he took an art therapy course in the hospital in his bed. And the top is the kind of pictures he drew in his art therapy course before the operation. Pretty much as bad as I would draw. I'm a terrible drawer. Anyway, when he had the heart transplant, he comes back into bed to recuperate, and the art therapy course continues. And what he found, to his art therapist's amazement, was he was suddenly drawing much better pictures, intricate pictures, something he was absolutely incapable of before. What happens in heart transplants and organ transplants is the donor's family very rarely meet the recipient. But on this occasion, he was doing some promotional work as a result of his operation to encourage more and more people to donate organs. As a result of this work, he met the mother of the donor, young man who died and donated the heart. And he said to her the obvious question, was your son interested in art? Oh, yes, he says. She says, he's crazy. He was crazy about art. He said, from the age of 18 months, he wanted art materials more than he wanted toys. He was, really into art in a big way. And what has happened here, the doctors and stuff are going, yeah, and we know it happens, but how it happens, we can't understand. Well, we are, at the body level, a computer. We are downloading information at a cellular level all the time. We are inheriting that, just as we inherit a computer, we are inheriting the stuff on the hard drive, but we're also adding it with every experience that we have. And within the cellular level of hard drive, if you like, It carries our personality, it carries our character traits, it carries our aptitudes, what we're good at and stuff like that. And so when you have a heart transplant or lung transplant, what you're actually doing is putting software into another computer. And that information contained in that software is then released into the computer as a whole, and you can take on the traits that it includes, which is an aptitude for art in this man's case. He also says that he took on different character traits, which also related, he found out later, to the kind of personality that the donor was. And there are so many stories like this. There was the woman who was frightened of heights, had a lung transplant that turned out to be a mountain climber, and she starts climbing mountains. This is a woman that was frightened of heights before. And the reason I'm going on about this is this. If our personality can be changed by downloading software information from another computer, who the hell are we really? What is this thing we call personality? Is it infinite consciousness or possibility? Or is it a computer program that we react in certain ways to certain things? Prepare to download if you see it at that level. And did you come across this story recently where there's this hen, right? And it's been laying bloody eggs, this hen. And then it turns into a cockerel. It starts getting that thing on the head that cockerels have, and it starts crowing in the morning. And what they found was that for some reason, the hen started producing vast amounts of testosterone, and as a result, it started to take on a male personality. So if the difference between being female and being male is an electro, particularly chemical makeup, then how can we say, I'm a woman? No, you're not. This is a woman. This is a man. We are infinite consciousness. And we identify with this, when we are this. We are identifying with an electrochemical computer process and thinking that's who we are. René Descartes came out with this French philosopher and thinker and all this other stuff. And he came out with this famous line, I think, therefore I am. Well, I would take it one stage further. I'd say, I compute, therefore I am, on this level, not on that level, on this level. Because electrochemical changes, even externally implanted, can change our personality dramatically. So, what is our personality? There was that lady, you come across the story a couple of years ago. She had been in clinical depression for 40 years. After 40 years, she'd been institutionalized and all this stuff. And then someone said to her, can you remember if anything happened around the time you went into this deep depression? The only thing she could come up with was she had something like 19 mercury fillings. So she went and had the mercury fillings out, went on a mercury detox program, and after 40 years, her clinical, untreatable depression disappeared. Now, her personality for 40 years has been a manic depressive, but that wasn't her, it was a chemical process. So how can we identify with this as being us when it can be so changed by a simple chemical process? People like Paul McKenna, when he takes people, for people watching this DVD in other parts of the world, Paul McKenna is a guy who, at the start of a TV show, will have people who are frightened of spiders or frightened of heights or something. And at the end of the show, he'll bring them back and they'll either not be frightened anymore or be a lot less frightened. What is he doing? He's going into the computer program that says, I am frightened of spiders, I am frightened of heights. He is wiping the computer program through various means which take out that character trait, which is nothing more than a piece of software, and suddenly the personality has changed. So if we identify with this as us, we're identifying with a programmed computer. And what the Illuminati want to do, and why they've structured society as they have, is to program the computer so A, we identify with it, and B, its program makes us react in the desired fashion. This is why the way out of here is going beyond the program. We see things not as they are, but as we are. It becomes more and more obvious. We are oneness, infinite consciousness, infinite awareness, but we are encouraged constantly to see ourselves in terms of division. And our reality is in our head when we think it's out here. Out here is just a mass of frequency fields and vibrational fields which we are interpreting and decoding as the reality that fits our belief, our programmed belief. What the human race is suffering from is mass hypnosis. That's where the real level of this conspiracy comes. Mass hypnosis. When I was researching my last book, I went to a few hypnotist stage shows to watch how they worked and stuff. And what they do, the hypnotist, he is implanting a belief in the stooge on the stage in a certain reality, like the person next to them on the stage is naked. There's an elephant in the audience. He's eating an apple when it's actually a potato. And what happens, because of that implanted belief, the program interprets reality to fit it. So the guy's eating a potato, but because of the program, it's an apple. His brain interprets the message not as a potato, but as an apple, therefore the guy thinks he's tasting an apple. And we are being subjected to that hypnosis all the time to tell us what to believe is real. And I've seen people on stages, they smell things that aren't there. They see things that aren't there because the only place they exist is in their head. And if their head believes it, they will manifest that reality within it. And we talk about people waking up. Humanity is starting to wake up. Exactly what they're doing. They're waking up from the trance. We don't have to learn anything new. We are infinite. We have to remember what we have been manipulated to forget through the hypnotic trance that we're subjected to. And this is the wake up that's happening. We're waking up from the trance. The elephant in the living room. The reason people don't see the obvious, that is obvious to people who've started to wake up, hey, I can see it now, is because the program is telling them something different. The reason they can't see the obvious is the same reason that a computer will not do something you want it to do if it doesn't have the software downloaded to do it. And when we start to wake up, we start to see the obvious. My God, why couldn't I see it before? Because you were asleep. This is humanity. It's in an hypnotic trance, but it's waking up. And what the Illuminati are desperate to do in this Orwellian state they're trying to interpose is to keep us, A, asleep, and if they can't keep us asleep, then keep us controlled when we're awake. Now, this is a wonderful book called The Holographic Universe by a guy called Michael Tolbert. And I'll get into the holographic stuff in a minute, because that's important. Why do we see things in 3D? Because that's what we create in our heads, but I'll get into it. But he tells a wonderful story in this book, which really sums up where I'm going here. He says that his father had a party at home, and he got a stage hypnotist along to do party tricks. He got people to do all the usual stuff, and eventually he's got this guy called Tom, and he's got him to do various things by implanting belief, which he then takes to be reality. And towards the end, he said to Tom, when I bring you out from to a waking state, you're not going to be able to see your daughter in the room. The same time, the hypnotist leads the daughter to stand in front of the guy, so he's looking in her belly. He then brings him out, and he says, can you see your daughter in the room? And he looks around, he says, no, she's not here. He's looking at her belly. The hypnotist went behind the daughter and he put his hand in the small of her back and said to Tom, who's there on the other side, I'm holding something, Tom. What am I holding? Well, he was bemused because it was so obvious he's holding a watch. He says, there's an inscription on it. Can you read it? He leans forward. He reads the inscription. His bleeding daughter's here. And people would say, that's impossible. That's ridiculous. That David Icke would say that. It's so stupid. But it's not. Because the only place that scene existed in its three-dimensional, this is a physical word form, was in his head. Therefore, implanted belief, no daughter in the room. That implanted belief will not read the energy field of her daughter, of his daughter. It just won't read her because it perceives that she's not there. There's nothing to read. Because in this holographic movie that we create in our heads, the daughter is not there in belief. She's removed from the scene and you can see what's behind her because it's all an illusory holographic scene in our heads where we interpret reality to suit our belief. It's got so silly that we look around and I understand it, but because of the way we interpret reality and we take fields of energy and frequency fields and decode them into a apparently physical reality, we look at the world that we live in, and my goodness me, does it look solid? Does it feel solid if you smack it? Yeah, but it can't be, because it's made of atoms. That's what scientists say, it's made of atoms, yeah. Well, an atom is as least solid as you could come across. It's just what, from this reality's perception, although nothing is, it's just empty space. As one scientist said, if you take the atom to be the size of a cathedral, then the nucleus in the center of it is about the size of a 10-cent piece. On all these different electrons going around the nucleus and all that stuff, they're infinitesimally small compared with the space that they're occupying. The atom is empty. It's as least solid as you can get. And if you go deeper and deeper into the nucleus and deeper and deeper into the electron, you find that they're bloody empty as well. They're illusions. So how can empty atoms create a solid world? Only when we decode reality in that way. And in identifying who we are, not experiencing, it's good. You know, Leicester City nearly went down. We've had a good season at the end. It's great. I enjoy the things that go on in this world to an extent. But if we identify with who we are with them and this world, that's when we get caught in the prison and get caught in the web. What they do with them when they're making holograms is you have a laser beam and part of it will get diverted to go across the object you want to photograph, these holographic pictures that are apparently three-dimensional. Another part of the laser beam will go pretty much direct onto the film. The other part of the laser beam will come in, having passed across the subject that you're photographing, and then the two parts of the beam will collide on the photographic film. And what they do, it's basically like dropping two pebbles in a pond, and then the waves go out, and as they pass over each other, they create what they call an interference pattern, which is a wave representation of where the two pebbles fell, how far they fell, how fast they hit the water. It's a wave representation of that. And what they have when they're creating holographic pictures, which are apparently 3D but aren't, is they create interference patterns on the photographic film where the two parts of the laser beam come in and collide. One carrying the vibrational image of the subject that's being photographed, the other one coming virtually direct. And so that's what you see on a photographic, holographic film. It's apparently a meaningless wave of lines that mean nothing. But you fire a laser beam at it in the right direction, and suddenly that meaningless, what the hell is it, becomes a three-dimensional vision to you. And that's what comes out of the wave pattern. And in the same way, we are decoding vibrational fields like the interference pattern into holographic reality in our heads. Holograms can look incredibly solid. And we can feel them and experience them as solid when we look at them. That's a hologram too. These are all holograms. That's not, that's the moon. But one of the things that happened when I was lying on this mattress in this darkened room in an ayahuasca state is the moon came up. And this voice starts going, the moon, poets wax lyrical to the moon, illusion. And then it said at one point, do you think that's the earth you're lying on now? Illusion. All happening in our heads through our perception of reality and other things which I'll come to. All the things that we look at are holographic representations which we're decoding from energy fields into holographic illusory reality. These are holograms, the earth and Saturn and stuff. And the brain is incredibly more sophisticated than the process of creating these holograms that you're seeing here. This is a computer image of a city, generate image of a city. Again, looks three-dimensional, even though it's not. And that's what we're doing all the time, creating or interpreting, decoding energy fields in the brain into a holographic reality. We see them as buildings and street scenes and people, but outside of us, they are energy fields, because that's what we are. That's what everything is, energy, consciousness, awareness. What we're actually doing in this world, in effect, is experiencing a virtual reality game where we're looking into a world and thinking it's real when it's just an illusory reality that we're creating in our heads. Now, one of the amazing characteristics of holograms is that every part of the hologram contains a smaller version of the whole. If you get a holographic print and you cut it into four, then you put the laser beam on each of the four quarters, you don't get a quarter part of the picture, you get a quarter-sized picture of the whole picture. It's an amazing characteristic that no matter how much you play around with it, it will always give you the whole picture, no matter what part you choose to use. Now, because the body is a hologram, and every part of the body hologram is a smaller version of the whole, that's where alternative healing methods come from, like reflexology, acupuncture, and these other healing methods. The reason they can find points in the feet that represent the whole body and different parts of the body, the reason they can find points in the ear that represent all parts of the body and indeed everywhere else is because the body is a hologram, and therefore every part of the hologram is a smaller version of the whole, and that's how this is possible. We're using the holographic reality to heal the whole body by using a part of the body. Because of the connection, one affects the whole. Because although it's a smaller part of the hologram, it is, in effect, the whole hologram. The DNA is a crystalline receiver-transmitter of information. We are receiving information, and we are transmitting information, and we are holding information. And it's done through the DNA and other related parts of the computer. This is what an article in the San Francisco Chronicle said. DNA is a universal software code. From bacteria to humans, the basic instructions for life are written with the same language. Every form of life, what we call physical life, is made up of DNA that has four codes, A, C, G, and T. And the difference between a mouse and me is the way that these codes are put together and relate to each other. It's a universal software code. This article said it, even though it wasn't talking about what I'm talking about. That's exactly what it is. And interestingly, when you see the four codes put together in their various sequences, which manifest as different physical forms, it always reminds me of the Matrix and numbers and figures in the Matrix movie on their computer screens. Because if you look at it in the Matrix movie, when they looked at computer screens, they were looking at street scenes and situations in what we call this reality, because they were decoding the mathematical codes of what they call the matrix, the illusory reality, to see, like we do, to see a reality that we think is a world. We are a computer at the body level decoding these things and creating this reality in our heads. Interestingly, television is based on the same thing. This guy, Jean Fourier, he developed something that became known as Fourier transforms, which was basically a mathematical understanding which allows pictures to be taken, turned into a frequency form, broadcast from the transmitter, and then decoded by the television into pictures. You know, in this room now where I'm standing are all those radio and television stations broadcasting this area. Maybe Friends is on now, or maybe it's the news. But I can't see the bloody news. I can't see Friends. But if I get something that can decode those frequencies that exist here, I can suddenly watch Friends or the news, or I can listen to the radio. It's decoding that those things into something that is tangible to us. That's what we're doing through the brain. The same thing, decoding frequencies into a reality that we think is around us, but is actually only in here. The matrix. This matrix is this illusory world that we get caught in. And what is the matrix? I've done a lot of thinking about this. The matrix, this reality that we're experiencing, is a holographic version of the internet. There's a very interesting and very pertinent question which people ask. I asked it myself many times. All right, mate, we're creating our own reality. All right, okay, yeah. Then why can I see the same light that you can see? Why can I see the same theater that you can see? Why can everyone who walks in here see basically the same backdrop? Why can we both see the same car going past? We might not agree whether we like it or not, but we can see the same car. Because through the DNA, the computer, we are locked into a holographic internet, which has come under the name of the Matrix. When you log onto the internet in China or South Africa or America or Britain or anywhere else, you might have a very different computer, i.e. race, whatever you want to call it, but you are logging in to the same collective reality. You can go to the same websites. You might differ again on what you think of them, but you can experience that. You can go to sports websites. In terms of our reality, you can enjoy sport and play sport. You can go to news websites. You can be interested in the news in our reality of daily experience. And as in the China example, what they do is they cut off connection to the Chinese people of what they can access on the internet. So they can only access what the government wants them to access, because they don't want them seeing things that would make them see the world differently to the way the government wants. Symbolically, that is what is happening in our experience of this matrix in this world. We are being manipulated to shut out areas of knowledge and understanding which would get us to see the world in a different way to what the governments and the Illuminati through the governments want us to perceive and understand. It's the same thing. We're being shut off from access. So we're receiving through being logged in through the DNA, etc., the computer, into this collective reality, this holographic internet. We are being locked into a collective reality in which we see the same scenes, and while we interpret them may be different, but we see the same scenes. We're experiencing the same reality, the same internet. The only difference is it's far more sophisticated, and we perceive it as three-dimensional through holographics. This is an article about DNA I came across. From the characteristic form of this giant molecule, a wound double helix, the DNA represents an ideal electromagnetic antenna. On one hand, it is elongated and thus a blade which can take up very well electrical pulses. On the other hand, seen from above, it has the form of a ring and thus is a very magnetical antenna. A DNA is a receiver transmitter of information, and we lock into the internet, the holographic internet, the matrix, through this DNA connection. And one of the key reasons that the Illuminati are obsessed with bloodline is, what is bloodline? It is a DNA code. What is a DNA code? It is a computer code. It carries information, it carries knowledge, and it carries other stuff that they want to pass on through the generations to these Illuminati bloodlines, because it gives them a greater fix on the nature of things, a greater fix than the general population get. It's a software program. It is a hard drive, if you like, of information which they want to pass on to their bloodlines and stop the people getting. And they therefore have understandings, natural understandings and natural connections that we don't have. And it's through this software program, which is in itself a frequency, a particular frequency, that they connect to these interdimensional beings, entities, that through them manipulate this world. They're operating on different frequencies, but they're manipulating this one through these Illuminati bloodlines, because it's all about tuning in to frequencies, etc. In the same way, we are transmitting information. There's the matrix holographic internet, and then there's also the other internet, the alternative internet, which is us transmitting from the DNA to each other. This is one way that we come up with this thing about telepathy, where someone thinks something and someone next to them says, "I was just thinking that." There has been a connection, a broadcast and a receiving, and therefore the same thought appears to both people. The 100th monkey syndrome, where they found that once a certain number of a species has learned something new, suddenly many, all or a vast number of that species can suddenly do whatever the few have been taught or learned spontaneously without being taught. They just know how to do it. How do they do that? Because those that have understood or learned something new, they transmit that knowledge. They don't know they're doing it, but they're transmitting it all the time, because we're transmitter receivers. Other members of that species pick it up. If it's a monkey, the elephant doesn't pick it up. Other monkeys in the same species pick it up. Why? Because they're operating on the same wavelength of that species, the same DNA code, transmitter, receiver, frequency. Therefore, that species picks up the new knowledge and not another species that is operating on a slightly different frequency. And that is why, when people start to change their frequency by beginning to wake up, they start to lock into the frequency on which this knowledge is being transmitted by people who are already aware of it and learning about it and waking up to understand it. And suddenly they start to get the knowledge of what's going on spontaneously. They don't have to read a book or anything. They just know it because they're now starting to pick it up. And this is why we are in a wonderful time at this point that we're experiencing, because the 100th monkey syndrome within the human species is beginning to kick in, and people are starting to spontaneously pick it up and tune into it. And that's what the microchip is really about, to suppress this process that I'm talking about, to shut us down from waking up and to shut others down from waking up as a result of this alternative internet and collective reality that we're talking about. Now, the 95% of DNA, they call junk DNA, kind of funnily enough relates to about the 90-odd% of reality that people, scientists say exists, that we cannot perceive. And the real The real meaning of this other junk DNA is that that connects us to other levels of reality. Connects us out into these other realms, these multidimensional realms. We're supposed to be multidimensional beings. We're supposed to be able to connect and perceive multidimensional reality. Just as when the consciousness leaves the body in a near-death experience, they say, I just had this unbelievably massive expansion of consciousness. I just could see and perceive everything. Yes, this is here to shut that down. It doesn't have to be, but that's the way it's manipulated to do. And it's cutting us off from this 95% of DNA or in awareness that holds us in the fractional part of DNA that relates to this perception. This is why people say, you know, we only use a tiny fraction of our brains. Well, we only use them in relation to this reality. The brain is a multidimensional computer that is possible to perceive infinite kind of realities. But that we shut off from that by the manipulation of many other things, and therefore we say we only use part of our brains. No, we only perceive that part of the brain and perceive that we use that part of the brain that relates to this reality, because that's where we're seeing it from. We are incredible. This is incredible. It's a fraction of, we use it as a fraction of what's possible. What is reality? Whatever we believe it is. I saw this once. Where there is love, there is pain. Balls. No, no, no. Where there is love, there is pain. If you believe where there is love, there is pain. That's all it is. What we believe is what we experience. They want you to believe that where there is love, there is pain, because if you believe that, where you find love, you will have pain. And you'll relate love, oh, it's so painful, love. Oh, I don't like that very much. There is no spoon. What was that line by that child in The Matrix? It's not the spoon that bends, it is only yourself. Yes, because it's only his ear. The spoon's in your bloody head. Therefore, we perceive it bends. The spoon don't actually bend because there is no freaking spoon except as a decoded energy field in our head that takes a holographic form. All these things. It's a miracle. No, it's not a miracle. It is the natural process of infinite possibility. You perceive it is a miracle because you are perceiving from the point of sense of constant total limitation. Therefore, anything that happens beyond your sense of limitation becomes a miracle. Not a miracle. How can you run through fire and not get burned just because you've programmed your mind not to perceive that you're going to get burned? Because an illusion can only burn an illusion if you believe it can. Otherwise, it can't. Believe something else on a deep level and it will not unfold, because we are consciousness. It's a vibrating field that we've decoded in our heads to be a holographic, apparently physical body. How can it be harmed or be burned except if we believe that is the way it works? It's all belief, all perception. William Blake said, if the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. Exactly. And if we reach that point where we cleanse the doors of perception and we remove the implanted limitation and sense of who we are, then we are not, I think, therefore I am. We are not even, I compute, therefore I am. I am, therefore I am. We just are. Everything just is. This is the freedom of limitless perception that this whole global conspiracy is designed to shut us out from. To deny the perception of, so that we operate within the frequency and belief system that allows the few to control the many. When we realize there are no many, but just one infinite I, controlling that becomes a nightmare. And this thing of the body and this reality can be broken down to pure mathematics, because it is a mathematical construct on one level. can be broken down to numbers. This is why we get kind of numerology and how these sequences of numbers, and this is why the Illuminati play with numbers like I've mentioned briefly, but there's enormous detail to go with that on another occasion. The DNA, it all breaks down, everything breaks down into numbers on one level. And the codes and the frequency fields that it works with. Again, the DNA can be broken down in numbers, H, C, G, and T as they call them. They're the matrix numbers. And in these ancient constructions, where they're so fantastic in their mathematical construction, where the same patterns, the same lengths, the same mathematical blueprints appear all over the world in these incredible ancient structures going back thousands of years, and the archaeologists go, oh, well, they're all the same. I wonder why. They knew about this pie and this golden mean and all this other stuff, and these over here also knew about it. Why do they do that? Because did they go traveling? No. It was the ancient knowledge when we had a global advanced society that filtered down through this now disunited global society. But it was the same knowledge, and they built in the same way because they had the same mathematical knowledge. And they understood the nature of architecture and how you can manipulate energy fields and how you can create different realities by using numbers and all this stuff. And this is why the Illuminati to this day construct their major cities and focal points with these street plans that I was talking about earlier. Because they've retained through the secret society network at the highest level this knowledge, this understanding of how you can use numbers and mathematical patterns to manipulate energy fields and therefore manipulate people who live in those energy fields. Going back to the ancient structures like Stonehenge, they weren't put in that place in that way by accident, but because they had this ancient knowledge passed down. This guy, Leonardo Pisano Fibonacci, he was Italian. He came centuries ago. He came up with what's become known as the Fibonacci sequence, which basically is, well, it's more than basically, it is. You add the two previous numbers to get the next one. So it's 0 and 1. 1 and 1 equals 2. 2 and 3 equals 5. And this Fibonacci sequence is found all over nature, in the way that plants grow, in the way that shells form, in the features and distances between them in the human face. Because everything in the end can be broken down to mathematics, because it is a mathematical construct, this matrix that we are perceiving as reality. This guy, Stephen Marquardt, an American doctor who really went into the Fibonacci stuff in relation to the human body, he said, all life is biology, all biology is physiology, all physiology is chemistry, all chemistry is physics, all physics is math, or maths as we call it in Britain. And he might have added, and all maths is energy. So if you understand, because you've had the knowledge passed through and you've added to it, the mathematical nature, then this is why the Illuminati are obsessed, as so many researchers have established, with number sequences, with doing something on certain days, in certain months, at certain times, which have certain number sequences. They're manipulating the matrix to suit their ends. The other thing is that a biological computer, and they're developing these around the world. I know there's a project in Florida, the University of Florida, developing biological computers which can think to a certain level themselves. And this body can think. It does have the ability to think because it's a computer. It can react. Many of our reactions, our emotional reactions, are not infinite consciousness reacting. They are the computer program reacting. And therefore, I've concluded myself that there are a very large number of people in this world who are not being, they're not being motivated or inspired by consciousness. They are basically biological computers just going through the program. I mean, I've met a few, I have to say. And so in the Matrix movie, you had the woman in the red dress, whereby they created a computer program, for those who have not seen the movie, and these two guys are in the computer program, which looks extremely real, and this woman in the red dress walks past, which takes the guy's fancy, and he later realizes that what had passed him as a beautiful woman was actually just a computer program. But he perceived her as human, and like everyone else. And I think there's a lot of people in the world who are so detached from their consciousness that basically they are biological computers passing through what is called life. And the computer is doing the thinking. It's doing the reacting. And they, of course, hold up banners saying, "Peace is war," and "Get a brain, morons." You know what I mean? That's where, they're the kind of people, because consciousness would intervene there and say, "Don't talk such nonsense." And so for me, there are kind of three basic types of people in the world. There are people who are basically the biological computer operating the reaction process. There are people who are connected to consciousness, but they are so identified with the human body that the computer basically drives the bus, although consciousness can intervene. And then there are the people who are now waking up, and they're becoming multidimensional people, connecting again to the infinite consciousness that they are. And they are perceiving this world from here, while those caught in the illusion are perceiving this world from here. In short, these people are in this world, but not of it. These people are in this world and of it, because that is their level of perception. So, this is why people who are in the mode on the right-hand side are looked upon as crazy and mad and strange by those who are on the middle and on the left, because, not so much on the middle, but definitely on the left, it's because they are perceiving reality from such a different point of perspective that to them, that is crazy, because that's what they are programmed to believe and the way they see the world. And so the reaction to me when I started talking about this stuff was mass ridicule. But because of the wake-up, it's changing, because we don't have to stay controlled by the computer. We can make a decision for consciousness to do that. And and for me, I call them the red dress programs. For me, a lot of these Illuminati bloodlines, if not all of them, are biological computers following a program. And the program's in the DNA. And they're not really in charge of events. The program is in charge of events. And that voice, the female voice in the ayahuasca state, was talking to me about all this and talking about the nature of reality. And it said to me this, because it did most of it by asking rhetorical questions. And it said, if you programmed a computer to abuse a child or kill someone, would it have an emotional reaction or an empathetic connection to the victim of its behavior? No. It's following a computer program. And in so many symbolic ways, these people are so computer-based rather than consciousness-based that they have lost the ability to empathize with the victims of their behavior. Therefore, what would limit our behavior does not limit theirs. So mass slaughter, they do not have a problem with when it would cause us mayhem. So all over the world, in different races, not a racial thing at all, there are these people following the computer program, and they're being manipulated to do so and encouraged to do so by the Illuminati hierarchy, you understand how all this works. So what is reality? What we're told to believe it is? Through religions. In the end, they may have different philosophies, but only slightly, if that sometimes. But they are selling a belief system, overwhelmingly, the vast majority of them at least, which is saying, this is the prison you need to live in. That if you step out of it, then you are no longer one of us. If you step out of it, then, oh, the devil's coming. And the religions have been used magnificently to keep people in this tiny prison box of perception that stops us getting out there and becoming infinite beings that we are. Simple philosophy, I think, is just my view. If we can give a name to what we believe, we're in a prison. Because infinity has no name. It's the force with no name. It just is. We just are. Once you start saying, I am a this, I am a that, you're already saying, I am a this, I am a that. I am a everything. And somebody said to me the other day, well, you've got to believe in something. Yeah. And you know why you've got to believe in something? Because you can't bring yourself to believe in everything. So you have to substitute that by believing in something. Now, let's bring this back to this whole thing we've been talking about today. What's happening is we are being hypnotized from cradle to grave in the same way that that guy does it by people like this. Newsreaders, politicians, teachers, lecturers, parents who've taken on the program and want to pass it on to the next generation. Not out of malevolence, out of thinking they're doing the right thing by their children. We're being programmed to see the world in a certain way. And when we take on the belief that is being constantly implanted, we will have the experienced reality to fit the belief. We're being hypnotized. The greatest hypnotist on planet Earth is a oblong box in the corner of the room. It is constantly telling us what to believe is real. And you know, when you're watching television, you go into a brainwave state that is akin to being in a hypnotic trance. And so much is fed through that system subliminally as well as actually to get us to see the world in a certain way. They want to manipulate what is in our heads so that we see the world they want us to perceive. Anyone who's read the book Tales from the Time Loop will know this already, and indeed the last book too. But for people who haven't read the book, that is a picture of four plants. Except that in the middle of it is a massive, and when you realize it's there, clear subliminal. And for those who haven't seen it yet, and 95% of people don't, look between the plants and you'll see the word S-E-X, sex. Now, when I show you that picture, for those that didn't see it, when I show you that picture again in a few minutes, not only will you be able to see the subliminal word sex, it will be the only thing you can see. Why? Because that which has been subliminal comes to the conscious mind where the conscious mind can see it and perceive it. This is why this information we've been talking about today is so important. Because it takes the subliminal manipulation and it brings it to the conscious level, and now people who are aware of it, they read the world like a book compared with what they did before. I can see where they're going with this. I can see what you're doing there. You want that outcome. You start to get control of your reality back. But they're trying to program us subliminally all the time. There's a subliminal in this. Advertising does it all the time. Because the subconscious sees something, is it attracted to it, whereas the conscious level doesn't do it, but he's still attracted to look at the picture because it's not aware that the subconscious is the one that's actually having the attraction, because the subconscious is like a sponge. It can see it all. The conscious level is just a fractional little frequency range, can only see a tiny, tiny bit of reality. Now, the subliminal here is a dick here in this picture. And What it's designed to do is to attract you subliminally, not for that, because you don't realize that what you're looking at, but it is to make you look at the picture. It's doing it all the time. This is an advert for McDonald's Chicken McNuggets. Now, I've seen a lot of chickens, but... And when this, because this was so obvious, when it was pointed out, they said, oh, no, it's not. We're a family company. Listen, mate, if you believed in the family, you wouldn't be feeding them that crap, all right? This actually happened in the Gore Bush election, the first time Bush was not elected. In an anti-Gore advertisement, political advertisement, they left the subliminal in too long. You couldn't see it when it passed through normal speed, but you only had to play it back slowly, slightly, for it to come up. And just as they were saying an anti-Gore statement in the political commercial, rats came up, which the subconscious would have picked up, and it associates Gore, rat, negative association. This is happening all the time to us as they try to manipulate our reality. Time magazine, when they were really anti-Gaddafi, when they were trying to demonize him, whatever happened to him? I thought he was a danger to the world. Is he gone? Was he gone? Is he still alive? I don't know. What's happening? We've got new monsters now. You have to keep up with it. Anyway, on his face, subliminally, which has been pointed out in this book where this picture comes from, on his face, subliminally, obviously not like this, you see the word, when you look at it real closely and blown up, the word kill and the word sex. Sex is used a lot to attract consciousness subliminally to look at a picture that they will then absorb and then kill there. Oh yes, kill Gaddafi, you must get him. It's all subliminal. Interestingly, when we had these embedded reporters, embedded with the people that they were reporting about, therefore very, very easy to suppress what they were reporting in terms of the bigger picture of what people needed to know, they became known in the Iraqi invasion as embeds, embedded reporters, embeds. What do advertisers and others call subliminally implanted messages? They call them embeds. And that's what these reporters were, subliminally apparently reporting the news of the war while actually reporting a version that suited the authorities. They'll put people, you know when you're talking to someone, I mean imagine if I spent the day like this, and then this happened, and then that happened. Well, what they've started doing now is they've started putting soldiers and others behind these guys like Bush and Blair, because of the subliminal message, literally on one level, dead simple, the troops are behind the Prime Minister. And all these kind of subliminals are put in. A simple one, like they arranged for this child to be picked up by Tony Blair when he first went to Iraq to give the subliminal and literal message of, hey, look, great for children, when they've slaughtered tens of thousands of them, but we won't mention that. Well, we're Mr. Blair. He kind of took it too far, as he normally does. But this is the principle of it. It's all subliminal, kind of manipulating our reality with stuff like that. And they want to control what's in our heads and control our virtual reality. They want to turn us into robots. They want to turn us into computers so that we come from this level of being instead of that level of being. And now we come to something we talked about earlier. Why do they want genetically modified foods? Because they want to manipulate the computer to become even more difficult for consciousness to manifest its true magnitude through. When people suffer brain damage and they are incredibly limited in what they can perceive, and they're called vegetables and all this stuff, they're still infinite consciousness. And when they leave the body, they are infinite consciousness. The problem they have is the computer is knackered. And so consciousness cannot manifest itself through the computer, just as when you're trying to, you know, do something on the computer. It doesn't matter how computer literate and brilliant the guy on the keyboard is. If the computer knackered, it's knackered. There's nothing you can do. Same principle, same symbolism. And what they're trying to do now, with all this stuff I'm going to talk about, in the next little sequence, is to suppress and imbalance and destabilize the computer to an even greater extent, so that the waking up process that we're now in cannot manifest itself through the computer into this level that they are manipulating and seeking to control. That's what genetically modified food is about. Fluoride. Now, all these things that I'm going to go through have one thing in common. They are what scientists call excitotoxins. In other words, they excite brain cells to the point where they cease to function. The electrochemical process of the brain and the body, which manifests as our emotions, as with the example of the mercury in the case of the lady that transformed her personality, they are trying to destabilize that electrochemical balance so that this computer will not allow consciousness to manifest its true genius into the world that we are experiencing. Fluoride is an excitotoxin. Vaccines are having the same effect, and of course they affect the brain through the mercury and other ingredients, which is why certain vaccines and combinations of vaccines have been associated with things like autism. It imbalances the electrochemical balance of the body brain. That's the idea. Aspartame is an excitotoxin. Exactly the same repeating theme. It affects the way we think. That's why he was involved. He's obviously had a lot. Then you come to the electromagnetic pollution that we're being subjected to. That is also not by accident. It is because of the effect it has on the electrochemical balance of the body and our ability to manifest consciousness into this matrix reality in its full magnitude. Chemtrails and all this stuff. I go into this in my newsletters and stuff. The heart program with these radio signals being bounced off the ionosphere and filling this reality with radio frequency electromagnetic soup. That's all to do with suppressing our ability to function, as is the Tetramass system and all these others. And this is why, as I said earlier, we have to start realizing that while there are pressure groups for all these different things, all roads lead to the same force, because they're all different strands in the same agenda of suppression. The microchip is the piece de resistance. See, I can speak Italian. See, that is why they want the microchip inside us. The brain is the central processing unit of the body computer. It filters and processes all the information traffic. In a computer, the central processing unit is a microchip. What they want to do with the microchip, the real reason, is they want to hijack the electrochemical processes of the body so that they can intervene in the way that information traffic is communicated through the body. Therefore, affecting the way that consciousness can manifest itself through thought, etc., out into this reality as behavior, understanding, and wisdom. They want to shut us down. That's what the microchip's about. That's why that guy with a patch on his chest said, if people say no to one thing, say no to the microchip. Because that is the robotic agenda, turning us into robots on a real literal scale. What they want to do is hold us where we've always been in recent times, in the eggshell. Hold us in this computer level sense of reality we call the five senses, and disconnected from the infinite consciousness that we are. And we are caught in this matrix because we operate on that level and we perceive division instead of infinite oneness. And so what we do is, it's a thing I've termed over the years, combing the mirror. We are trying to change out there, which is nothing more than a mirror in here of our sense of reality. We're out there, we're doing this, we're doing that, trying to change this reality out there. We're never going to do it because it doesn't exist out there. It exists in here and it exists in here if we come from consciousness. What the Illuminati want us to do through all those institutions is to perceive change happens out here. Because they know out here comes from in here, if we perceive change happens out there, change is never going to happen. And they know that because we're combing the mirror. You know, if we want to comb our hair, we don't comb the mirror. We comb our hair and the mirror then reflects that. When we change this, the mirror out there reflects this and the world changes. Just a mirror reality. Combing the mirror will do it forever and nothing will change. We stop doing it, everything will change. So another thing that they've tried to keep from us, but they've held at the upper levels of the secret society network, and that is the key law of attraction. What you put out is what you get back. What you focus on is what you manifest. They know how this works, and they've used this process in a way that's attracted all the wealth of the world, basically, and all the real power in this reality, though not power in infinite reality, into their hands, because they understand the law of attraction. And they understand that what they get the people to focus on then becomes their experienced reality. So they get the people to focus on survival. That's the key thing. Keep them in a mode of survival, and then they will always experience a life of surviving. Have I got enough? Will I get to the end of the month? It's not that there's not enough wealth in the world. The world is infinite possibility. Money's a freaking energy field. That's all it is. It's not enough. We got infinite energy. What they've done is made sure that the energy we call money comes into their control, because they understand the way, the process of getting energy flows of certain kinds going in their direction. Then they manipulate us to go like that, push them away. All the time, we're pushing away what we want because we don't think it can happen. Nothing ever happens to me any good. You know, everything goes wrong. You know, I'm having quite a good day today, but you watch it, it'll change. What happens? See, I told you, it's bloody changed. No, you have created that. Your reality is it's going to be shit this afternoon because it's been great this morning. Hey, it's shit this afternoon. See, I told you, you were right. There's nothing to do with you. It's just, you're so unlucky. I had this guy wrote to me years ago. He said for 16 years he kept facing the same situation, and every time he made the same, it was in different forms, but the same basic choice, and he kept making this choice. And it kept repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, because he was creating it. It was his reality. And one day, after all this time, he was basically the same choice, and he made a different choice. That situation never arose again, because he had changed his reality. There's a great line: if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got, because of the law of attraction. We are in control. We attract to us what we most fear because of the law of attraction. What we focus on, oh my God, I hope it doesn't happen. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Whoa, away it comes. When I was a footballer, when I was not in a confident mood, or I was in a kind of down mood, and I said, oh God, I hope I don't let people down today. I hope I don't make a mistake. It's a big game. I would make a mistake, because I was creating my reality. I can see it now. So obviously that's what I was doing. When I was in a different mode, I didn't make mistakes, because I was in a different mental state. I was attracting a different reality. It's all us that is creating this. The difference is understanding this and saying, okay, I now am going to create my reality from my perception and what I want, instead of I'm going to accept unknowingly, because I don't know how it all works, an implanted version of reality, which I will then create an experienced reality that suits the people who've implanted the reality. Get rid of that. It's still the same process of creating your own reality. It's just that we are creating our wanted reality now, instead of taking on someone else's without realizing how the system works. Talk about fear. So Gandhi said, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Was it worth it? But they want us in a place of worry, sense of survival. Oh my God, what's going to happen next? Oh, have you seen the news? Bird flu. Oh my God. They want that, because then we will create a reality that suits them. Divide and rule, fear. Save us, do something. Give me that Tamiflu. Give me that Tamiflu for the bird flu that Rumsfeld's got massive shares in. Go on, please. And the other way, if we put out love, we'll get love back. And not love, I love you, darling, toy down the disco, but love that says, I love you whatever. Why? Because I am you, you are me. We are one consciousness. It's only our perceptions that divide us, not our conscious awareness, infinite reality. Infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. And we can... We can create an illusion that is a nightmare. We can create an illusion that is everything we've ever dreamed of. We can create an illusion in which we are imprisoned by the few, or we can create an illusion in which we are infinitely free. It is our choice, and it is just a perception. It will still be an illusion, but it will be a nice illusion or an unpleasant illusion, because the only truth is we are infinite consciousness. We are all that ever has been, is, and ever will be. That's not bad news on a Saturday evening, really. I go into this stuff in my last two books, but I can tell you, through my years of research, there's always been some force that said, look at this, look at this, look at this. And right through the 90s, it was, look at this, 5 cents, look at this manipulation, look at these connections, look at the way they manipulate, look at this. Then it was, hey, look, other dimensional entities, look at this other dimensional level of this. And now it's saying, this through synchronicity of my life, it's saying, this is what you need to look at. Go for this, look at this, understand this, because this is the answer to that. And it's all this stuff about the nature of reality, because this is where the answers lie, and this is where most researchers will not go because they're stuck in religion. We have created this matrix. We have created this false reality by going from infinite consciousness, taking on fear, more and more fear. These are pictures, by the way, by a brilliant artist called Neil Haig, a friend of mine, who has done the art in many of my books, including the last one. He's an absolutely brilliant artist. And he's got a website you can go to and see great pictures. And this is the way we have allowed fear to create this prison based on fear, based on losing contact with who we are, based on being divided and perceiving division instead of perceiving infinite consciousness. And just as we finish, one of the things that happens, this is how the matrix works. We come into this reality, and in a world where this knowledge was universal and known and encouraged, then that situation on the left is what we would be. We would be experiencing this reality and its challenges and its great things too. And we would be connected at the same time to infinite consciousness. We would be in the world and experiencing it, but we'd know we weren't of it. We would be perceiving it from another level. What actually happens is we come into this reality for whatever reason. It could again be the law of attraction. And we suddenly get caught in this eggshell of fear. We come out of the womb and we pick it up. We start to see that, you know, if you step out of the box, or you say things outside the norm, there's a kind of consequences for that. People laugh at you and kids at school and all that stuff. And you start to withdraw and withdraw, and you start to get more and more programmed. And so you end up being infinite consciousness, trapped in an illusory prison of our own creation, made up of a four-letter word called fear and another one called lack of understanding of the nature of the world we live in, or another sentence, whatever you want to call it. And it's been a long day. That's what we get caught in. But what people are beginning to do now is break the eggshell, break out of domination by the computer level of perception, and start to be in this world again, but not of it. And that's what the wake up is, and it is happening on a vast scale. I've traveled to more than 40 countries. I used to talk to next to nobody, absolutely next to nobody. I got very lonely some nights speaking about this stuff in the early 90s. But all over the world, this wake-up is happening. It won't get in the mainstream media. I mean, they won't understand it. What's happening? I've never heard of it. No one talks about it at the parties I go to. and all that stuff. But it's happening. And by the time it breaks through into the mainstream, it will be a tidal wave. And they'll wonder where it's bloody come from. Usual thing. Hey, where's this come from? Hey, where's that come from? I don't know. Am I finished? There you go. That's a new computer. It don't bloody work. It's just like this one, you know. Anyway, this is breaking the eggshells. This is what we're doing now. We're starting to break out of this false reality and start to see beyond it. And that's the worst nightmare of the Illuminati. And that's one of the key reasons they're desperately, panic-strickenly pressing on with this Orwellian state. Because once you break through this level of perception into the infinite level and bring that down into this reality, you start broadcasting that around on the alternative internet between DNA on the same wavelength. You start to wake other people up. People say, what can I do? When you wake up, you cannot walk down a supermarket aisle past people without affecting them on some level. You cannot do it because your wavelength starts getting picked up. We are like broadcasting a new drumbeat. And when we start to get to that level, you start seeing beyond the illusion. The Neo figure in The Matrix, once he started to break through at the end of that first movie and got through the illusion of death and realizing it's an illusion and it's not real, he stopped seeing those agents as they are on the left, and he started seeing them as they are on the right. Computer electronic energy fields. See that? Anyone that didn't see it before? Anyone that didn't see that before? The only thing you can see now is sex. Same with me sometimes. Because that which was subliminal has come into the conscious mind, no longer manipulating, clear as bloody day. And that's what this information is doing to people in changing their reality from division to oneness. Free your mind. First thing, realizing you are a slave, Neo. Realizing what the situation is, which was the first part of this talk. This is the game that's being played around us and we are pawns in. Then saying, I choose freedom. I don't want that. I am me, I am free. And then you go through this process, which most people have been through, of transformation. Hey, what happens when the transformation happens? You go down little country lanes and there are birds twittering and there are little nymphs and butterflies. And there's sweet music playing because I have broken through. I'm spiritual now. And I have transformed so that I walk like this. What happens in the transformation? All sod in hell breaks loose in your life. That's what happened to me. A couple of years into this transformation of mine, I thought, if this is spirituality, you can stick it, mate. This is no fun. But if you keep going and you keep doing what you believe to be right, and you keep doing what your intuition, your knowing tells you, then you come through it and you break through it and you transform your life. Yes, I've been there, mate. Morpheus, I have been there. About three times yesterday and once this morning. Know thyself. This is the key for me. It's the kind of thing, know thyself. It sounds kind of trite, but there's a difference between thinking and knowing. The computer thinks. The computer has emotions. They're electrochemical processes. That's why chemicals can affect emotions, and emotions produce chemicals in the body. There is another level, consciousness, beyond the program, which does not think and does not, what some American New Age people call, emote. It just knows. It knows, intuitively knows. You see, when you access that level of infinite consciousness, infinite possibility, you access that level of infinite knowing. Infinite consciousness doesn't sit down and work things out. No, what do you think? It knows. It is all knowing. We are all knowing. Once we start to think and try to work things out, we are accepting that we are not all knowing. When we stop thinking, the first stage is think for yourself. Yes, that gets the old process moving, but it's only stage one. The next stage is know thyself. Know anything you want to know without thinking. You just know it. We call it intuitive knowing. I just kind of knew that. Why didn't I go with my knowing? Because thought was saying, can't be that easy. You've got a mortgage, you've got a cat, you can't follow your knowing and go here. No, mate, you've got to stick in the box. And knowing is the level where we're accessing that level of us that is all knowing, all aware consciousness. And if we think that's not possible, that's just an expression of the fact we're still, to an extent, stuck in the box. Don't think you are, know you are. No, don't think. Don't stop trying to hit me and just hit me. We are in the process of trying to do something. What does that mean? We're always trying to do it. Don't try to do it, just do it. Don't think that it's as hard. And I'm talking to myself here. Don't think I'm cross-legged on a mountain here. I'm talking to my bloody self. I give myself a lecture sometimes, you know, myself, you know. Stop trying to make it happen, just do it. Because when we're trying to make it happen, we're in the process of trying, it's not actually happening. Don't ask the question, know the answer. That was one of the great lines that was given to me in that ayahuasca experience. It's from the Matrix movie. There's a line in it where I think it was the Trinity character said, it's the question that drives you mad. And this voice in the ayahuasca state said to me, it's not the question that drives you mad. It is asking it. Know it. There are no questions to ask. We already know. And when we think we have to ask, we are all still perceiving division and limitation. When knowing knows all, and we know all, and we become the one, the oneness in awareness. Because we're all oneness, whether we perceive it or not, whether we think we're not, we're still oneness. It's not whether we're oneness or whether we're not. It's our perception of whether we're oneness or whether we are division. And we're at a point, a fork in the road, where we can waken and start living this world from that point of infinite consciousness and transform it, because we are the world and the world is us. They're just mirrors of each other. Or we can go on the way we're going, close down computer based reality, in which case we'll live in a global fascist state within not many years from now. My feeling is the transformation is the immovable or the irresistible force, and the Illuminati Orwellian state is not the immovable object, because it's there, because we're holding it there. When we choose not to, it'll crash and it'll all be over. And we're starting to see this. You know, there have been times on this journey when all this stuff has been going on that my optimism has waned sometimes, and I've thought, you know, I've never been more optimistic in this whole period that this is coming down. It's coming down because we're waking up. The 100th monkey syndrome. The 100th monkey syndrome is kicking in. People are spontaneously seeing it. Hey, I love Daffy Duck. I love Daffy Duck. Yeah. Big Brother. Yeah. Big Brother is only Big Brother because we perceive him as a point of power. He is not. It's an illusion, an illusory power they're trying to sell to us. Martin Luther King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. This is not a case of transformation of the world through stockpiling weapons and division and conflict, and let's meet violence with violence, because we'll just be caught in the same illusion. He said also, cowardice asked the question, is it safe? Expediency asked the question, is it politic? Vanity asked the question, is it popular? But conscience asked the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but one must take it because it is right. And you know, For me, one thing would change this world in a flash. If we as a people, as a consciousness, started to do and make decisions based on what we believe to be right. Not believe that is right for us in the moment, in this superficial, oh, is it right for me? Or what about that job I might get if I speak out? And oh, what will they think of me? If we just do what we believe to be right on the basis of it is right, we'll transform the bloody world, because most people are making decisions out of fear or desire for ambition that is on the basis of how do I do this that most suits me in the moment. When we go from it, what is right? Never mind what suits me, what is right? That would transform everything. As Gandhi said, you must be the change you want to see in the world, because we are the world. It is a mirror of us. We change, it changes. And somebody knocked this up for me. There was some kind of artwork and for a t-shirt or something. It was just in the kind of design stage, but I put it up here for what it says. If you are fighting the system, then you are still caught in it. This is not about fighting the system. It's about ceasing to hold it together. Non-cooperation. We cannot be imprisoned without our cooperation. If we withdraw that cooperation on an increasingly mass scale, all right, is Mr. Blair, he's just about to make a statement outside of Downing Street. Okay, cameras, okay, cue. We've just had a discussion. I know we didn't talk like that, but I don't care. We've just had a discussion, and we've decided that this is what's going to happen. Now, that only happens if the people say, well, he said it, it's the law, then it must be allowed to happen. If we say, no, mate, it ain't friggin' happening, all right? Where's his power? He's got none. His power is in our acquiescence. Crack the eggshell. Open the heart. Cosmic love. Connection. Know who we are. Outside of the matrix. In the world, but not of it. And the cards, the house of cards, will crumble, because that which is holding them together will have been removed. And the Illuminati and all its imbalanced, sick, disturbed world that it wants to create will simply be dissolved, because we will perceive it out of existence. Jimi Hendrix said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. And I would add this, only when we know who we are can we know freedom. Because how can we know freedom if we do not have the coordinates to understand how free we really can be? Not free of the next tax demand, not free of the next Blair Bush introduced law, not free of, but free in infinite, infinite reality, infinite awareness forever, because that's all that exists, now and forever, everything. That's the freedom that we can be and we are outside of this illusion, and that's the freedom we can only know by understanding that's who we are. And infinite love is the only truth, everything else is illusion, and we are at a wonderful time. Years and years ago, I came across this wonderful piece of music by a lady. She came from Germany and then came to live on the Isle of Wight. And she wrote great music, sang great music about all the stuff we're talking about. And one part of one song said this: we are the power in everyone. We are the dance of the moon and the sun. We are the hope that will never hide. We are the turning of the tide. And we are. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.